When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to a special edition of Down to Earth. Sienna Campbell here with you for the next hour, and we won't have our usual contributors with us this evening because, as the music suggests, I'll be talking to two individuals who are planning an unusual, not to say unique, winter break. But more of that later. First, here's Planxty.
Is frozen to me hands, me body is like a lump of lead, me shoes are frozen to me feet from standing at your window. Let me come in, the soldier cried, cold blow in the rainy night. Let me come in, the soldier cried, I'll never come back again now. Me father's working down the street, me mother the bedroom keys does keep, me door and windows all do creak, I cannot let you in now. Let me come in, the soldier cried, cold blow in the rainy night. Let me come in, the soldier cried, I'll never come back again now. And she came down and lent him in and kissed his ruby lips and chin. They went back to bend again and the soldier, he won her favour. Then she blessed the rainy night, cold blow in the rainy night. Then she blessed the rainy night, that ever she lent him in now. Now you've had your way with me, soldier, won't you marry me? Now me love that never can be, so fare thee well forever. Then she cursed the rainy night, cold blow in the rainy night. Then she cursed the rainy night, that ever she lent him in now. Then he got jumped out of the bent, and he put his hat upon his head. She had lost her maiden head, and her mammy had heard the jingle. Then she cursed the rainy night, cold blow in the rainy night. Then she cursed the rainy night, that ever she lent him in now.
Well, there you heard the title track from Planxty's Cold Blow on the Rainy Night album. Well, even though we may have broken the back of winter and the days are getting longer, we've still got January and February to get through. Wouldn't it be great to get away? Most people who do manage a winter holiday make for the sun. But earlier this week, I spoke to two people who were heading for, of all places, the Arctic. Of course, it's not strictly a holiday. It's actually the first all-Irish Arctic expedition. Next month, Danny Osborne, John O'Mara and Dr. Jerry Wardell will set off for Ellesmere Island, a bleak landmass 1,000 miles inside the Arctic Circle. There, at temperatures that can be as low as minus 40 degrees, this unlikely trio will spend 6 months working, exploring and experimenting. I say unlikely because Jerry is a physicist, John a cameraman and Danny a painter and ornithologist. Danny's not a total stranger to the place. He spent 6 months in an Eskimo settlement in 1977. but this time the expedition will be covering new ground, literally. They'll be going 500 miles beyond the nearest settlement, charting areas hitherto unknown to man. Jerry and Danny told me all about the proposed trip, and we'll start with a typical day on an Arctic expedition as described by Danny.
Well, we'll be living in a small tent, 8 foot square, for 6 months, the three of us, so we'll each take it in turns to climb out of the sleeping bag and chip away the ice to make a first brew up. Have tea, and so when that's made and everybody's had a cup, then we'll get up, have some breakfast, a big bowl of porridge with dried apple and raisins in it, perhaps another brew up, and then poke your head out the tent, see what the weather's like. And then we'll each be doing our different jobs, one man with the skidoos, the other man packing the tent, getting the gear together, having a look round, taking meteorological observations and notes on the weather, and then we'll be heading off. We'll be stopping for breaks every so often and a brew up just to keep warm. Chocolate forms quite an important part of snackery, because you get fairly instant energy from that. And then we try to keep some sort of routine, because with 24 hours daylight and the sun just going round and round, you can very easily lose track of things and go on and get overtired, and then it has a bad effect on you later on. So if we'll hold some sort of routine, although there's no day or night. The best way of having a routine is stopping at by the watch to have meals, thing which is good. The Inuit, the Eskimos, tend not to have any set routine like that. They just stop when they're hungry and eat, or they might be stuck for days on end with a blizzard blowing. I mean, we will as well. But I find a routine is very good.
Well, what about at night entertaining yourselves?
Well, I don't play cards, but a few hefty, boring novels is the only answer there, I should say.
Yeah. I think Finnegan's Wake might be one good book to bring. That would keep us going for 6 months.
You can bring War and Peace and all the rest of it. Yeah. And would you be having a few jars at all?
No. I think the drink we'll take will be purely for medicinal purposes, because alcohol tends to make your blood capillaries dilate, and so you lose heat very quickly, which is the wrong thing to do.
And bedtime will be at 10 o'clock sharp, and if you're not in bed, Danny will be around.
Okay. Yeah.
How are you going to dress to keep out that sort of cold?
There'll be plenty of layers. That's the important thing, to have layers with air in between them. So it'll be thermal underwear, and then woolen trousers and shirts over that, down-filled jackets, down-filled outer trousers, and a parka. Then on your head you have an ear band and balaclava.
You'd be well wrapped up.
A few pairs of gloves and a few pairs of socks and boots.
Is it difficult to work then in that sort, under those conditions, Danny? I mean, you'd be painting with gloves and things on you.
Yeah, that's no big problem really. Well, I find we wear silk gloves for fine work and things, but as far as when I'm painting, most of the movement comes from the elbow anyway, so it's not too much trouble. But on our feet, that's quite important, because they tend to get cold even in this climate with some people. But we wear the things called kamiks, which the Eskimos wear. They're big duffel liners, and you can wear a couple of pairs of those.
You actually suffered from frostbite the last time, didn't you?
I had a bit of frostbite on the left-hand side of my face and the nose, yeah. It wasn't too serious. It healed up after a few months.
Well, there you heard White Rock, and that comes from the soundtrack of a film on the Innsbruck Winter Olympics, and it was composed and performed by Rick Wakeman. Well, back now to the Arctic expedition. I asked Jerry what, in fact, he would be doing there.
We have our work fairly well cut out for us. In the initial phase of the expedition, we'll be doing a long sledge journey by motor toboggan and sledges. And in the second phase, we'll be doing scientific work, studying the solar energy, available solar energy, testing solar energy, collecting devices. Danny will be studying the fauna with special emphasis on the migratory birds, and he'll be doing a series of paintings. John O'Mara, the third member, will be making a documentary film in collaboration with RTE on the whole expedition.
Right, well, you three, in fact, are due to head off in February to Ellesmere. But in fact, you've been working on this for months and months and months. How did it start? What brought you together in the first place?
Oh, yes, there'll be about a year and a half's work done by the time we depart. Danny and I got together and we both had an interest in going to the Arctic. And we sort of kicked around the idea the summer before last for a couple of months. And then around about November of last year, we sort of started working out seriously just what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. That was followed by, in beginning of January of 1980, we went over to the Scott Polar Research Institute in Cambridge. And there we met a lot of people who had been on expeditions both to the Arctic and the Antarctic, and we talked with them and got a great deal of information from them and worked out sort of the overall details of what we'd like to do. And between then and now, we've been filling in those details, making the preparations, which are very extensive, and of course looking for sponsorship.
Danny, I'll move to you for a second. What's your background? Why are you heading off to the Arctic?
Well, I was there before in 1977, and I suppose the reasons I went there then was because I thought it would be a totally alien place, like outer space, and I wanted to go somewhere where everything was totally new and fresh, and everything I saw would be for the first time. But since coming back from there and thinking about it, I think finding the links between Ireland get closer and closer, between Ireland and the Arctic.
Well, what sort of links are you talking about?
The relationship between the... during the last ice ages, this is the most important factor in forming the Irish landscape. It was responsible for carving the shapes that we know it today.
And you paint some of those shapes, don't you?
Yes, I live down in West Cork, and it's very easy to see the marks which the ice made, because there's been very little soil development over the last 10,000 years there, so you've got a lot of bare rock. And you can see all the marks which the glaciers made and the sheets of ice. So in fact, the Arctic's quite important. Then there's the birds, which not very many people know about it. We have the green and white-fronted goose and the light-bellied Brent goose, also, which we have about 15 to 20% of the world's population, that go from here every year to the Arctic, places like Northern Ellesmere. So that's one thing we'll be looking at, is finding their most northerly breeding grounds and doing a marking operation on them.
Jerry, back to you. What's your background? What brings you to this point?
My professional background is as a physicist, and up to now I've been working in the Applied Research and Consultancy Group in Trinity College. I've always had an interest in the polar regions, and when I graduated, I did actually apply to the British Antarctic Survey for a position in the Antarctic. And the position I was offered was a 2-year contract, which I felt at that age was too long to be, you know, in a remote area. So I postponed it, and now I have the opportunity to go.
Jerry, how's it going to be living with just, you know, the three of you together for 6 months? Is it not going to be terribly claustrophobic in a very sterile environment like that?
Yeah, well, this is, you know, a very important consideration in planning the expedition, that this is of the human side of it. that we do need to be very compatible, and I think the three of us are. In past expeditions where people have been picked more at random, there have been, you know, clashes of personality. But I don't see any serious difficulty coming with the three of us. I'm sure we'll have our moments and our disagreements, but I feel that we'll be able to resolve them.
Ozark Mountain Daredevils there and Snowbound. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to a special edition of Down to Earth, because tonight we're looking at the first all-Irish Arctic expedition. I'll let Gerry continue the tale.
People have known, especially the Eskimos, that the polar bear pelt trousers are the warmest you can get. And in the last few years, some universities have been studying the thermal properties of the pelts of the, they call them homeothermic pelts. And they've looked at the polar bear, and they found that the fibre of the hair is actually hollow, and the light is transmitted down through the fibre into the blood vessels at the end of the fibre. It's a bit like the greenhouse effect. So the polar bear has a coat. His coat not only keeps him warm, but it also actually collects the solar energy. This is a theory anyway. It hasn't been proven so far, and I'll be taking up a polar bear pelt panel with me, and I'll be monitoring the solar radiation which is incident on the panel, and at the same time look at the temperature rise to see if I can verify this theory.
And do you have much hope that you can...
The evidence points to the fact that they do act as solar energy collectors. And if it's true, it'll be very interesting because synthetic fibres could be made to emulate this effect. And there's, you know, great potential for clothing applications there and building applications.
Well, at least it won't mean that we'll all be running off to get polar bear pelts.
No, you might have a nice warm coat for next winter.
Looking through your one of your booklets with description of the actual expedition, you say extension scientific research in the extension of current isotopic climatology research project, or something like that anyway. What does all that mean?
That's right. There is a researcher, not in the same area as our base camp, but in northern Ellesmere Island, and he will be there. It's Dr. Ray Bradley. He was at the Scott Polar Research Institute when we were over there. He's going to study the development of storm systems, and the method he's going to use for that work is collecting snow samples during snowstorms and sending them to a laboratory to be analysed for the different oxygen isotopes. And we'll be working in collaboration with him, and when he wants to collect samples at the point he is, we will simultaneously collect samples where we are. And in that way, he'll have twice the amount of data that he would have if he was working on his own. So it won't be really much work for us, and we won't be directly involved in the project, but we will be providing him with, you know, quite a lot of useful data.
Okay, Danny, people haven't actually been around a lot of this island. People haven't walked around it or whatever before, travelled around it.
Vast areas which nobody's been into at all, yeah.
Well, how are you going to find your ways around? Is it mapped or...?
Well, it is mapped from aerial photographs, yeah.
And are you going to add any information to this, or do you think that there is much information needed?
Geographically, not a whole amount, but we'll be able to perhaps check up on a few sightings and things just to... make sure they're correct.
What about, you were also going to be looking at the fauna of the area. Is there actually very much?
Well, one of the main areas we're interested in is the, as I was saying before, the light-bellied Brent goose. And up to 10 years ago, nobody knew that that the Brents that we had in this country wintered in that area at all, or even in the high Arctic. So it was just by accident that some which were ringed up there were found over here. So there's a whole lot of work which needs being done to find out where the most northerly breeding grounds are. It's funny, I was talking to the director of migratory birds in Canada the other day on the phone, and he was saying, oh, well, yes, any Brents that you find up there will be from Ireland. Who'd want to go to New Jersey when they could go to Dublin Bay?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we'll be doing a marking operation to just see where they do go and where the dividing line is, because the ones in the south go down to the east coast of North America, and it's generally thought that the ones up in our area will come over to Ireland.
Right, that should be rather interesting.
Yeah.
Now, John O'Mara isn't with us. He'll be making the film. Can you tell me a little bit about the film that he hopes to make? What sort of a film?
Well, it'll be basically a record of our activities, all the work projects and the joys and the sorrows and of the expedition, just to keep a good record of what's been going on. And to a certain extent, the work we're doing in this country, getting the expedition together and how an expedition is organised.
I'd add there that the educational aspect is one aspect of the expedition which we're very much conscious of, and we feel that we'd like to bring back as much material to present to the young people here to teach them about this little known but increasingly important region of the earth.
Swinging in my hammock, I fell asleep. dreamed a dream and I thought it true. Concerned Franklin and his cabin crew, the 100 seamen he sailed with. The frozen ocean, the mongrel made to seek a passage around. They made me strong. The ship on mountains of ice was drawn. Only the Eskimo in his skin
Lord Franklin from Kevin Burke and Micheál O'Donnell. It's a sad song about Lord John Franklin and 129 of his men who set off on the 19th of May 1845 to find the Northwest Passage. They were never heard from again. Franklin's ship struck in the ice for 2 years and he himself died in 1847. The expedition aroused great public interest and the ballad makers chose Lady Franklin's Troubled Dream as a setting for their song. Sad stuff to be playing when we're talking about a forthcoming Arctic expedition.
There's an amazing amount of little detail. You know, all the equipment must be very specialised and must be the best. For example, the batteries for the radio would be operating at, say, minus 40 degrees centigrade. And the efficiency of batteries at that temperature is very low, so we need to work out ways of charging them. We'll be using the solar panels to charge them. We'll be using our motor toboggans to charge them. And, you know, if everything fails, we'll have a hand generator. But just little things, every little detail needs to be worked out and tested beforehand. We've had a lot of help from Irish companies, like in the batteries, the chloride are helping us to decide on which batteries are the best, and Philips are helping us with the solar panels and so forth. So we've had an enormous amount of help from Irish companies, but still there's so many little things that everything must be thought of. You know, there's no way we can run to the corner shop and get a nut or bolt that we've forgotten.
Yeah, well, what about you yourselves, you know, you as pieces of equipment? How have you been building yourselves up physically?
Generally trying to keep as fit as possible. It's been quite difficult
because we've been so busy with the administration, we've spent more time than we would have liked sitting in the office writing letters and making phone calls and so forth. So in general, just keeping as fit as possible, swimming and as much exercise as possible.
You're talking
Jerry does more swimming things, but I live down in West Cork, so I do a lot of walking and cliff climbing and things like that.
Have you in any way been able to simulate an Arctic environment here? I'm not just talking about the cold, but about the conditions, the sort of travelling around in motorised toboggans.
The beginning of this year, I was sleeping in McGillicuddy Reeks in the snow, camping rather, without a tent. Yeah, I was over in Scotland for Christmas. I was sledging and the rest of it. It's fairly arctic up in the central Scotland there. And a friend of mine has a dog team up there which we were using. So it's near enough, not extreme temperatures.
What about John? How's he been managing about that? How does he feel about going off into the wilds? Has he had any experience of this before?
Well, he's done quite a lot of strenuous things in the past. For example, you remember the Fastnet race last year where a number of people came croppers. He survived that, okay, and he's done a lot of yacht racing and the like.
Oh, he's fit enough.
So he's sporty, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, there's Devo on the flip side of their single Whippet. It's called Snowball. Right, what kind of food does one bring on an Arctic expedition?
Food, we're taking practically all processed food, most of it from Ireland. There's a lot of companies that have donated food to us. People like Erin Foods, who are one of the best people in... They invented the freeze-dried process, and so they've got one of the most developed packing systems and things like that. We'll be taking all this along with us. Biscuits will form a high percentage of our diet. You see, we have a huge weight problem. That's so everything goes back to weight all the time. So it's all got to be dried, freeze-dried, just to cut down on the weight, get rid of all the water. we'll be making four depots around the north coast, which we'll pick up on our route round. But we'll be taking it all with us, you know.
We've kept all our sponsorship to Ireland, and, you know, we're very happy that it is an expedition organised and financed from Ireland. You know, that's a very important aspect, and because of that, we're bringing as much Irish products as we can, even where it's to our economic disadvantage. For example, on board Bonya will provide us with butter, but the cost of transporting it from Dublin to Resolute Bay, which is the last point being going on the commercial aircraft, is much more than the cost of butter there. But at the same time, we prefer to bring Irish butter, if at all possible, and then look for somebody who might help us to pay for the freight.
What about your sponsors? How has all that been?
The response has been very good overall. We're not quite there yet, but we feel confident.
Well, where is there? What's your target been?
The budget is in a way theoretical, because we're getting a lot of our requirements in kind. And if we had to pay for everything which we need, the budget is, we estimated, was 87,000. Of that, the biggest element is the aircraft which we have to charter to get us from the last point we can go to by commercial aircraft up to our base camp. It's a distance of only about 600 miles, but we have to charter a DC-3 and a Twin Otter to bring our equipment and ourselves there, and that's the biggest single item of our expense. In terms of how far we are, it's the goods in kind have been the most the easiest to get together. The cash has been a little bit more difficult, but we've been doing okay there as well.
Did people find you a strange trio, in the sense that you, Danny, are going off? Essentially, you're a painter.
Yeah, that's my job.
And it's been advertised, although you will be, you know, you're also an ornithologist. People are in the press, any press I've read about you, it's highlighted that you are an artist going off into the wilds.
Yeah.
Do people find that hard to take? Do they feel that you are a waste, that you won't be pulling your weight?
Well, I had, when I was in the Arctic before in 1977, I came back with an exhibition of paintings. So I have a certain amount of credibility as far as the actual work I'll be doing there goes.
What will you be doing the work in? Will it be oils or...?
Oil paints, yeah. I managed to do a small bit of watercolour painting there before.
Melt down the snow.
Even in the summer, I mean, most of the time they just freeze instantly. I mean, you just get a sheet of ice forming. And sometimes I tried a few things with keeping a little burner going under the water, under the my dish of water to keep it going. So you do a picture, but maybe a couple of days later the thing thaws. And it's just a big blotchy mess.
Cold and raw the north did blow, bleak in the morning early. All the trees were hid in snow, dappled by winter yearly. Gentlemen riding over the hill met with a farmer's daughter. Her rosy cheeks and a bonny brow, they made his mouth to water. Quickly he saluted me, meaning to show his greeting. I bowed to him right gracefully, his courtesy exceeding. He asked me where I went so soon and longed to begin a party. I told him to the next market town, a purpose to sell me barley. In this purse, sweet girl, says he, £20 lie fairly. Seek no further one to buy, for I'll take all your barley. 20 more would buy delight, your body I love so dearly. If you would lay with me all night and go home in the morning early. £20 could buy the globe, it's this I'd never do, sir. Nor worm me kinners for as Jove, I would not raise them
salsa. If I lay with you this night, we'd get a young child together, and you'd be gone at the 9 months end, and where should I find a father? He told me he had married been 14 years or longer, or else he'd take me for his own and die the knot much stronger. A bad dinner, no further roam, but manage his word like fairly, and keep his gold for his wife at home, and some other should have me for thee.
From an album called Ashes and Diamonds by June Tabor, you just heard Cold and Raw. Well, I wanted to know how isolated the expedition members would in actual fact be.
We'd be maintaining a twice daily schedule with the Polar Continental Shelf network in the Arctic. And they will relay our messages back to Resolute Bay, and they can be sent from Resolute Bay to Dublin by telegram. So we'll be in, you know, fairly direct contact with the home headquarters.
And if they don't, if you don't contact them on one particular day, they will check up.
If you don't
contact
them within 48 hours, they send out a party to look for you.
Are friends of yours in any way worried, or family? Are they worried about you going off?
I'm pleased to see us go, I think.
It depends on the. It's not, yeah, some are pleased to see us go, I think. Some are a bit slightly nervous, I think.
Jerry, when you come home, you'll have your work cut out for you. You'll be travelling around giving lectures, showing the film, all the rest of it. But aside from all of that, you'll probably have a lot of difficulty fitting in again into this environment, into Ireland.
I think, yeah, it'll take a few weeks to slip back into
just a few
normal
weeks.
Life. I don't think you'd, you know, you would never be exactly the same as you were before you went, but then, you no matter what you do, that's true. I think this will be, you know, one of the difficulties, readjusting. But
no,
people
agree.
People have done that. You know, people
it'll
have gone
change
off.
You, changes people considerably, going into an environment like that.
You found it changed you, did you?
Yeah.
And you enjoy the change, obviously, if you're going back.
Well, I think it's important. I have important work to do there.
Yeah.
So I'm going back, but yeah, it's an extremely exciting place to be.
How did it change you, though?
It gives you, because you're stepping back from the world. I mean, when you're up there on the roof of the world, you can hardly believe that this other place where you've lived all your life exists at all. I mean, you're just miles away from anything. And even when you get back to the settlement, like in an Inuit settlement where I was working from before, I mean, it seems unbelievable that that exists even. It's so you basically stepped out of the world and you're looking back, and so you can never look at it quite in the same way as having been in it all the time.
Yes, somebody said to me that the main danger of the whole expedition is when you hit the first big town on the way home. I don't think that's quite true, but it will be strange.
But you're excited.
I'm extremely excited. Well, it's one of the really beautiful parts of the earth. You know, it's leaves the Swiss Alps miles behind.
Thank you.
Well, that's the sort of music you won't hear too often on Radio 2. It's the first movement from Vaughan Williams' Antarctic Symphony. He couldn't supply an Arctic one, I'm afraid. Anyway, it's bringing our special New Year edition of Down to Earth to a close. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join me again next Saturday night between 7:30 and 8:30. Until then, from me, Sianna Campbell, producer Siobhan McHugh and Pat Hogan on sound, good night, take care and Happy New Year. We close now with the second movement.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.